Hopspotting 118.
Wednesday, August 31st, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wild Card Wednesday, and I'm going to do another musical top five because I have to tell you the truth. I really enjoy listing music in lists. It just calms me down. It makes me think about things in a different way. So I think I'm going to do more of these.
Okay, and today's topic?
Albums that changed my life.
Whoa, okay. Hopefully some good stories here. The top five albums that changed your life, what's on the list?
Before I start my list, I want to say that what's not on the list is Led Zeppelin 2, because I feel like I've already talked about Led Zeppelin ad nauseum. I am a big fan, and I love Led Zeppelin 2, but it's not on the list.
Okay, we'll say that's number six. Number five
is Unplugged by Tony Bennett.
Okay, Grandma, what do you like about Tony Bennett?
Yeah, no, I'm not 80 years old, but I love Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett is the coolest man on earth. He can sing. He loves his fans. He's still got it after all of these years. And I fell in love with this album by accident. I saw the MTV special back in 1994 while flipping through channels. And at first I was intrigued. I'm like, who is this old guy on MTV? And the audience was just completely enraptured. They loved every minute of it. And you could tell that Tony loved being there. So I sat down and I watched the whole thing. But I continued not to know a whole lot about Tony Bennett until I started working for a very prominent national music record store chain.
Yes, and first of all, for our younger listeners, what's a record store?
It's where they sold music. And back in the old days, albums were like really big, and they were black, and they were made out of vinyl.
All right, so you worked at this prominent music store chain, let's call it Really Tall Building Records, and they put you to work. And so what does that have to do with Tony Bennett?
I worked in the video section, which means we got to watch DVDs all day long, because DVDs were a new thing. And one of the first DVDs to come out that particular period was the Tony Bennett Unplugged special. And at this particular time, I was pregnant. I was expecting my daughter. And it was in my first trimester, which meant I was not in a good mood a lot of the time.
I can attest to that.
But this album and this DVD helped to calm me down. It helped to make me focus. It helped me to smile a little bit more. And at the end of the day, when I left the store, I just felt happier if I had been able to watch the DVD. And I became a fan. I started trying to find out all that I knew about Tony Bennett. I started buying his records. And then for Christmas, the year was 2004, just before our son was born, I saw Tony in concert.
He came here to Honolulu.
And he was amazing. It was the best concert I've ever been to in my life. He knocked it out of the park. Tony's voice has aged, and it is obvious on the Unplugged album, but the age in his voice only makes me love him more because it's shown me just how much he's grown as an artist.
Well, that's quite a story, Jen, and I suppose we should hear a track. What should we play?
It Had to Be You.
Of course.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue. Even be glad just to be sad, thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
Well, that was the most unexpected start to this list. What's number four?
The Doors, the self-titled debut album from 1967. I've also previously covered my love of The Doors, but I don't think I ever really explained why I love The Doors. The Doors were smart people. Jim Morrison is perhaps one of the most smart, well-read, literate people in the history of the world, and that shows in his lyrics. In on this album alone, he covers the Oedipus myth. He writes an ode to a restaurant that used to be downstairs from his apartment, and the Doors were just not afraid to do anything. They were not afraid to be creepy. They were not afraid of any critics' opinions. They were not afraid to be themselves, and that resonated with me at the age that I became a Doors fan.
We just watched a documentary about the Doors on Netflix. I mean, there were probably 30 documentaries about the Doors, but what was that one?
Classic Albums?
Right. Well, that was pretty good, too. I mean, I liked how they talked about how he really was more a poet first before a musician. The music kind of came second to his writing.
My favorite part of that documentary was they took The End, the song The End, and they separated it into tracks so you could hear the vocal track and the keyboard track. And that, to me, was a really education because it really gave me insight into how albums are put together.
It was a really good documentary. I'm impressed that that kind of raw audio, perhaps just the vocal tracks of these songs, were available. Hopefully we'll hear and see more of that sort of thing. But yes, you do very much love the Doors. I agree. You had said once, Morrison is one smart bastard. So what song did you want to share here on this podcast?
Soul Kitchen.
Well, the clock says it's time to close. I guess I better go now. I really like to stay here all night. The cars crawl past, all stuffed with eyes. Street lights share their hollow glow. Your brain seems bruised with numb surprise.
The debut album of The Doors, a great album, and yes, one of your favorite bands. What is number three?
Number three is the self-titled debut by Hapa.
Okay, Hawaiian now.
It was the first Hawaiian album that I ever bought because I really knew nothing about Hawaiian music. I picked up a couple of cheeky kitsch titles from the record store before I moved here, but I really knew nothing about Hawaiian music, and I listened to Hawaiian radio, but I didn't know anything about the artists. But one particular track, Ku'ule Awapuhi, caught my ear one day, and I was obsessed with finding this song, and I bought the album, and I found out that Kenny Loggins does backing vocals on it.
Right. I mean, it's a great album. It's really lushly produced. It sounds fantastic, and one thing about any Hawaiian album is they do their originals, and they also do covers, sometimes too much covers, I think you would agree, some local bands would do. But Hapa also did a lot of traditional Hawaiian songs. I think we talked about that on the Hawaiian music list that you had done. But Hapa is a word that means half Hawaiian, half other, you know? So, for example, we refer to our kids as Hapa.
Right.
And for the original incarnation of Hapa the band, it was Barry Flanagan, who's still the core of Hapa.
Right.
And at that time, it was the original collaborator, Kealii Kanealii.
Correct. And he's had several collaborators since. Nathan Aviao, who's put out a few solo albums, was also in the band for a little while.
Yeah, and I think right now it's Ron Kualaau, and that was the version of Hapa that appeared on stage at the end of an episode of Hawaii Five-0 on CBS.
Right. This album changed my life in the way that it helped open the door to a big, huge world of Hawaiian music. There are all different kinds of styles of Hawaiian music, and I was really not aware of that when I got into this album. But now I love all kinds of Hawaiian music, and I owe my knowledge and my love of Hawaiian music to this album.
And would you say that this is a good album for a Hawaiian music virgin, a total newbie to the genre?
Absolutely. We've given it as gifts. We gave it to my mom one year, remember?
That's right. In fact, she was such in love that, of course, Hapa then did a Christmas album, which we sent, and it was certainly in very high rotation. Well, what track do you want to share to let somebody see why you love Hapa so much?
As I mentioned, the first track that I heard off the album was Ku'ule Awapuhi.
Ah,
just beautiful. All right, number two.
Number two is Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses.
Well, that's quite a shift from Hawaiian music.
I first heard this song in the vehicle of a person that I knew.
Okay. I'm not going to pry. Go, keep going.
His name was Steve.
Oh, God.
He had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he was 6'2". And
oh, so he's the exact opposite of me. All right, please continue.
He was a rock dude. He loved Metallica. He loved Anthrax. And like those two artists, Guns N' Roses were very loud and very violent, and I wasn't into either of them, but for some reason, I loved this album. And at the time I was into new wave and goth, and I loved The Cure, and it was really hard for me to reconcile my love of The Cure with the rush that I felt when I heard Welcome to the Jungle for the first time.
Okay. Yes. Well, I mean, my understanding of your musical taste, at least when I try to simplify it or characterize it or even stereotype it, it's certainly much closer to Appetite for Destruction most of the time than it is to The Cure, for example.
Well, that's because I grew up with rock and roll. I grew up with MTV, and they were playing Def Leppard and Quiet Riot on MTV. So that really influenced me. And those were the first albums that I bought. And for a long time, that's all that I listened to until I started watching 120 minutes for a certain video. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
But I started watching 120 minutes and I really fell in love with Britpop, and I fell in love with alternative music. And by that time, metal was getting really kind of boring. Everybody looked the same. All of the singers in the bands had blonde hair and they all did the same things with their guitars. They were all trying to copy each other in order to make a buck. And that to me was really kind of boring. But Appetite for Destruction really broke that mold. They were not anything like hair metal rockers.
All right. I'd love to hear what track you'd like to pick from this album to share.
It's a track that's really kind of strange because it's almost two songs in one. It's a really driving, angry rock song, and then it kind of gradually slides into this almost really tender, sweet pop ballad, and it's called Rocket Queen.
And that was Rocket Queen from the album Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses out in 1987. And that goes out to Steve somewhere in Florida. Okay. What is the number one album that changed your life?
Starfish by The Church.
Okay. So we're kind of more back to the more alternative rock here.
This is the reason why I started watching 120 Minutes. I was flipping through MTV and this video came on and the song was so beautiful and hypnotic. I had never heard anything like it. And the video was so beautiful that I just had to catch it again. But the problem was that they really only seemed to play this on 120 minutes.
Right. And you had to stay up late for that.
And we had to. Yeah, I did. And so because I was watching this, I really got into it. I started to love that kind of alternative scene from the late 80s. The Church were an Australian band that formed in the mid 80s, and they're still making music, but their sound has really evolved into kind of that guitar jam band sound.
Mm-hmm.
But during the late 80s, they did a lot of really emo kind of sounding alternative music, and Under the Milky Way is probably the song that everybody knows from this album. That is the song that I fell in love with, and it's been kind of an alternative pop staple. You see it on all kinds of pop compilations from that era. It's been in movies. You hear it in Donnie Darko. Mm-hmm. And it's really a very typical song from that era.
Yeah, Starfish was the most commercially successful album to date for this particular band.
In the summer of 1988, three things changed my life. One of them was The Last Temptation of Christ, the Scorsese movie.
Yes.
Because everybody was just so freaked out about that movie, and I was really starting to question my Catholic faith, and it really started to change my mind about religion. Okay. And number two was Sassy Magazine. Sassy okay. Magazine was a magazine that was published during like late high school, early college for me, and it introduced me to a lot of music, and okay. it also taught me about art and feminism and alternative culture, and I really started to copy like the fashions that I saw in Sassy.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. Okay, so The Last Temptation of Christ, Sassy Magazine, and Starfish by The Church. What track would you like to wrap this up with?
Reptile.
Too dangerous to keep, too feeble to let go, and you want to bite the hand. Should have stopped this long ago. Go now, you've been set free. Another month or so you'll be gorging on me. Lie, smile. I saw you slither away with a spin in your tail. You flicker a tongue and you rattle and scale like a real reptile.
All right, Jen. Well, that was a fantastic track. That was a great list. I mean, I've known you almost half my life, and still there's new things I'm learning about you every single day. This Steve dude, what kind of car did he drive? This infamous car.
He drove a 1977 Candy Apple Red Camaro.
Well, of course he did. Okay, well, that was Jen's top five albums that changed her life. And we are always looking for more interesting topics to tackle for our Wildcard Wednesday shows. The best way to hear more music shows like this one is to help us build them.
For example, on Facebook, Al suggested top soundtracks, and David suggests top one-hit wonders.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm totally game.
All right.
So if you have any ideas for these lists or a completely different list in mind, please send them along.
We know a daily show can sometimes be hard to keep track of, so we wanted to let you know that you can sign up to get an email from Pop Spotting every time a new episode is posted. It's one of many ways you can get your fix, and to get it, you just enter your email address at popspotting.net/subscribe.
Speaking of email, it's one of many ways you can get in touch with us. Drop us a line anytime at feedback@popspotting.net.
You can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
If you want to start a conversation with other Pop Spotting listeners, feel free to post your thoughts on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting. You can also find us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Tomorrow for Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, we connect with an old friend, a great musician and podcaster.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. This is the end, my beautiful friend. Bye. Beautiful.
Bye.